You're listening to Honestly Aging by Friends Life Care Vigor, a podcast where we explore what it's like getting older, the peaks, the valleys, and everything in between. In this season of Honestly Aging by Friends Life Care Vigor, we're covering topics related to solo aging. I'm your host, Cheryl Proska. Let's grow old together.
On today's episode, I'm joined by my colleague, Caitlin Wyrock, Care Coordinator with Friends Life Care. Caitlin holds a master's degree in social work and has been in the healthcare field for 6 years. During this time, she has worked with interdisciplinary teams in rehabilitation and nursing centers and held positions on short-term, long-term, and dementia units. Caitlin, welcome. Thank you for being here. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So Caitlin, you're joining me today to discuss topics older adults and solo agers may wish to consider before and during pet ownership, like the benefits of having a pet, things to think about before getting a pet, resources for ownership, and more. So let's get started with the benefits of the human-animal bond.
Absolutely. So there are many obvious benefits to pet parenting, unconditional love and companionship, for example. But there's also a lot of research-supported health benefits to living with an animal that aren't as well known, particularly for older Americans. Pets increase opportunities for exercise and outdoor activities. They contribute to better cognitive functioning in older adults and provide more opportunities to socialize. AARP has linked long-term pet ownership to delayed aging in the brain, showing that cognitive scores decrease at a slower rate in pet owners. Interaction with a pet can increase your physical health, which in turn can lower blood pressure, decrease cholesterol, lessen loneliness, and relieve stress. Those who own a pet tend to take better care of themselves as well. Caring for a pet helps to develop a routine, encourages owners to eat regularly and complete chores and other daily tasks. There's also a great deal of social and emotional benefits, especially for an older adult living alone. Walking a dog gets senior owners out of the house and increases their opportunities to socialize with neighbors. Pet owners tend to help people get to know others walking their dogs in the neighborhoods and starting social exchanges. Being with a pet also increases levels of serotonin, so that feel-good hormone that relieves stress. Pets tend to help people be more mindful, more relaxed, and give owners a sense of purpose and meaning. The company of an animal gives people reason to get up in the morning and helps keep structure and joy in your day. So knowing you're loved and needed can really enhance your mental health.
So I live in a community and I feel like I moved here. I really want to get to know my neighbors. And the best way I have been able to do that is getting out and walking around the neighborhood. And although I don't have a dog, so many of my neighbors do. And that's how I'm meeting people. So I'm thinking about, especially our solo agers listening, that this is a great way to build some of your community right around where you live.
Absolutely. I also live in a big animal community here. We have actually a little pet park outside, and it really gets you talking with your neighbors, getting to know one another, and getting to know their pets.
Caitlin, what are some things older adults and solo agers should consider before getting a pet?
Great question. So although the benefits of having a pet are abundant, it's also important to consider several things before getting an animal to be a responsible pet owner. So first, think about what the right kind of pet meets your lifestyle. Consider how much time, energy, and hands-on work you can provide safely. So make sure you do your research to find out what would be the best match for you. Think about how you'd manage tasks involved in care, such as picking up after them, providing exercise, feeding them. Ask yourself what that would look like. So for instance, a large energetic dog might not be a good fit for somebody with poor balance or mobility challenges. A cat may be better for somebody whose mobility is limited. Another consideration is the animal's age. So perhaps adopting an adult, healthy pet for your loved one might eliminate the stress of training and perhaps match your loved one's energy level. Next, it's important to consider finances, as animal care can be expensive. Assess the cost before you commit. I would also suggest, as an owner, considering your experience level. The responsibilities of owning a pet can be a bit overwhelming for a senior who's never had one before. So it's important to consider things that we're unprepared for, like health or behavioral issues and the lifespan, depending on which pet you choose.
I'm also just thinking about if you have a friend, a family member, a loved one who has the type of pet that you're considering getting, using them as a resource to ask some questions, or even borrowing the pet for a day or pet sitting for a weekend might be a way to feel out what the experience might be like.
Yeah, that's a great suggestion to kind of trial that experience for a day or so and really get some insight will help you set some realistic expectations.
Yeah. So I'm on the organization's risk management committee, and a concern that comes up quite often is falls. Can you discuss the falls risk that an older adult should keep in mind when selecting the best pet for them?
Yeah, that's a great point. Pet-related falls can be related to tripping over the animal or a toy, chasing them, walking them, or being pulled on a leash. This increases the risk for fractures in particular, which can be associated with a further loss of independence and decline in physical health. Fortunately, the risks can be reduced or eliminated. So I'm happy to share some tips in reducing the risk of fall.
I'd love to hear them.
Yeah. First, know your pet's habits and routines. So for instance, if your dog is high energy like mine when you return home, consider keeping a chair and treats by the door so you can steady yourself if needed. Encouraging your pet to sit and remain calm when guests enter will also teach them not to jump on people entering to protect both you and visitors. You can also modify your environment. So having control in your home setup can be really useful in preventing falls. Consider installing a pet gate, for example, which can keep your pet in a controlled space while completing activities where your balance might be a little less secure. Other things you can do would be incorporating adequate lighting, especially at nighttime, to prevent tripping in the dark. Using a collar with a bell, for instance, can provide an auditory cue for where your animal is in the home. You can also do things like keeping toys and bones in a basket to eliminate tripping hazards, and using things like elevated or absorbent mats for food and water bowls to prevent slipping on excess water. My third tip would be training. So obedience training is a good way to prevent behavior that can lead to loss of balance, as well as create a strong bond with your animal.
I'm thinking of those pet gates that you mentioned could also double as, gates for helping keep any children or grandchildren out of areas that you don't want them peeking their little heads or little bodies in. And then also the nightlights. I have some nightlights around my home that are set so they are only popping on when it is dark, when it is night, when the lights are out around the home. And they are super helpful for navigating, really, for anyone in any age group.
Absolutely. That's something I would definitely recommend for anyone with or without a pet. They even have things like motion sensor lights. So there's a lot of things out there that you can reduce your fall risk.
A big question older adults and solo agers may have about pet ownership is, what if you have a medical emergency or a change in your health status?
Yeah, that's an important consideration. So once you've thought about all the factors in pet ownership, it's important to create an informed pet care plan, just as you would any other family member that you care for. So consider your options if you need to find somebody to care for your pet in a pinch, and how to manage their needs realistically. It's helpful to have a plan in advance in your back pocket for ways in which your pet can be cared for if needed. So perhaps discuss these options with a friend, our coordinator, or a family member. And if you're limited in these areas but feel a pet would be beneficial for you, consider adopting an animal that doesn't need as much daily care. Next, we can talk about some services and technology that can help support your best pet plan.
It's always it's best to be prepared in advance. And it makes me think of a conversation for the podcast I had with an estate attorney, where we talked a lot about advance directives and your wills and your POA. And you don't necessarily think about having one of those advance plans for your pet. So it's a really important consideration that you brought up.
Yeah, and certainly I have heard of people including their pets in those advance directives as well. But also to consider if something were to happen day to day, who can you call and rely on to help with your pet? But next, I can certainly talk about some services and some technology that can help support your best pet plan.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Would you prefer to age independently in your own home or live in a nursing facility? I know what I'd rather do. Friends Life Care Memberships offers just that. Plan today for a future lived at home with vitality, independence, growth, and resilience while protecting your savings. Learn about your options at a free seminar or webinar. Register at friendslifecare.org/register or call 215-628-8964. Caitlin, before the break, you were talking about that you have some resources that you can share for supporting pet ownership, and I'm sure we'd all love to hear them.
I'd love to share them. For adoption, you can certainly contact your local animal shelter. Go and meet with an animal first. There are programs designed to help match senior dogs and cats with adults over 65, such as Gray Nose Society and Senior Paws. Regarding pet care, once you already have your pet, for sitting, walking, grooming, or training, you can explore programs like WAG, Rover, even care.com, which helps locate a professional in your area. Programs like Dog Vacay even allow you to board your pet with a trusted sitter in their own home. Hmm. Someone with mobility challenges may consider a mobile service. So there are grooming vans that can offer mobile options where they arrange for someone to come and provide services right in your driveway. There are also mobile vet options. Another piece of pet ownership is medical care. So if you're unable to drive or lack easy access to your vet office, there are a variety of mobile veterinarians and video chat services offered in Pennsylvania that I can attach in the link below.
That's amazing. I had no idea that a mobile vet service was available. And it's something that I'm sincerely going to look into, because my poor cat gets sick on a 5-minute car ride. And I know it stresses him out. So that would be such a benefit for myself. And then thinking about our audience, maybe people are not driving anymore, or maybe it's just more convenient, or if you're living in a more rural area and that vet is far, far away, have them come to you. So yes, I look forward to adding that resource to our show notes.
Absolutely. Not that this should be something you rely on, but there are programs out there where if there's an emergency and it's something you don't plan for example, PACT has a hospital foster program. That shouldn't be your first resort, but there are resources out there that can help support you in an emergency. You can also contact your local vet office, and they might be able to offer some options depending on your circumstances.
It just sounds like preparing for the unexpected, just in case. And even just knowing that those resources are available is just great information to have in the back of our minds.
Absolutely.
Do you have any resources or advice for any smart tech for pets or adaptive equipment?
Yeah, in addition to community services, there are smart technology and adaptive tools that make pet care more accessible. So for instance, there are automated feeders and adjustable bowls that can reduce the need to bend over and need to refill bowls every day. You can also consider something like a water fountain with a filter that will keep your water fresh for longer periods of time. Some devices might help open a can or use a measuring tool that would help make things a bit easier. Folks may wish to consider scoopers adapted for standing, self-cleaning litter boxes, disposable pads, or even self-cleaning tanks are out there to aid in daily care. I know for myself, I certainly use timers for reminders and pet cams to keep an eye on my pet when I'm not around. And there's also even automated toys designed to throw a ball or use a laser to keep your cat engaged. There's quite a few unique things out there.
I have a laser for my cat, and I'm telling you, it's his favorite toy. And I know there can be sometimes challenges with pets and pets getting obese in a sense, and having those toys at our disposal, as well as those timed feeders, can in turn, I'm imagining, help us keep our pets healthy too, as we keep ourselves healthy since we have our pet.
Absolutely.
So what if after someone has thought it through, they decide pet ownership may not be the best fit for them, but they still want to benefit from having an animal connection?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a big decision. So if you decide you're not able or ready to adopt a pet, and you still want to obtain some of these benefits of animal engagement, you may wish to explore another way to interact. You can certainly look into volunteering or fostering for a shorter period of time to be able to interact with animals on your own time. There's also programs with volunteering designed to help them find good homes, like animal sponsorship. There are services out there, for example, pet therapy or visiting services where an animal can come to see you in your home. There is even a virtual pet app that's been designed by a former CHOP nurse that lets you virtually interact with animals online. It's the next best thing to real dog, plus no hairy couches or accidents on the road.
And I have seen that there are very lifelike cats that are being used for, especially people that have cognitive impairment. And I have seen one of these cats, and it looks realistic. And I think that might also be another option. Have you ever seen anything like that?
I have. Actually, I worked in memory care and long-term care for quite a few years. And the first time I saw it, I have to tell you, I didn't realize it was fake. They're so realistic looking. And it's wonderful. It's a really good way to engage, you know, sensory-related touch with an animal. They are very real. They breathe, they purr. So that's a great resource for someone with cognitive impairment.
Incredible. Well, Caitlin, I know that you have a furry friend yourself, and I would love to hear more about your experience with pet ownership.
Sure, I do. I have a 14-year-old, almost 15-year-old Yorkie poodle mix named Teddy. He has been with me through all my major milestones since completing school, getting married, moving. You know, your pets are with you through it all. So now that he's a little older, he requires more frequent vet trips, but he still has a lot of energy and lots of love to give. So we're so grateful to have his companionship.
Oh, you have showed me him before and just such a cutie. And I just appreciate you sharing him with me.
Absolutely.
So before I let you go, is there anything that we haven't touched on that you would like to talk about, or any closing words about pet ownership for our older adults and solo agers?
Sure. So I will certainly share, you know, the links for some of this information, some resources I haven't mentioned that might be useful. I'd just like to end it on, you know, pets are such a gift. They're a wonderful way to interact with each other. And if a pet is right for you, it's certainly something that will enhance your health.
Well, Caitlin, thank you for a fun and enlightening conversation about what older adults and solo agers may wish to consider before and during pet ownership. I think we're all equipped to be animal allies after this conversation.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to Honestly Aging by Friends Life Care Vigor, a unique program focused on aging with vitality, independence, growth, and resilience. You can find links and show notes from this episode on our website at friendslifecare.org/podcast.
Thank you to Caitlin Wyrock for joining us today. You can learn more about Caitlin by visiting our website, www.friendslifecare.org. If you like our show, please rate, review, subscribe, and join us next time. To learn more about aging with vitality, independence, growth, and resilience, subscribe to our blog at friendslifecare.org/blog.